is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Severson. This morning, Pentagon experts continue assessing how much damage the U.S. air attacks did to Iran's nuke program. Iran's foreign ministers in Moscow to meet with Russian President Putin. Homeland Security warning state and local officials of a heightened threat environment. ABC's Rachel Scott at the White House.
This move by the president is dividing the Republican Party. He campaigned on keeping America out of foreign conflict. So on one end, Republican leadership standing by the president, supporting this move. But a handful of Republicans are speaking out, including Congressman Thomas Massey, calling the president's moves here unconstitutional.
More air attacks between Iran and Israel today. Crude oil prices jumped, fell, then regained about half the losses today. Nearly 50 heat records for this day could be equaled or broken, forecasters say. About 150 million Americans are under heat alerts from Texas to Maine. In the seventh game, the Oklahoma Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers 103-91 and are the new NBA champs. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from withholding billions of dollars in transportation funds from states that don't agree to participate in some immigration enforcement actions. 20 states sued after they said Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy threatened to cut off funding to states that refused to comply with President Donald Trump's immigration agenda. U.S. District Judge John McConnell Jr. on Thursday barred federal transportation officials from carrying out that threat before the lawsuit is fully resolved. An attorney for the Department of Transportation had argued that the department had the legal discretion to set conditions on states receiving the congressionally appropriated funds. A new report by the Wisconsin Policy Forum found Wisconsin gets less funding per resident from the federal government than almost any other state. The report, based on 2022 federal tax data, found that Wisconsin ranked 41st in the country for the amount of federal funding received per resident. In total, the state received an average of a little less than $15,000 of federal funding per person. While Wisconsin ranks towards the bottom of that list, experts are still warning that further federal budget cuts could have a significant impact on the state. A new study shows just how much money you need to live comfortably in Wisconsin. It's important to know what living comfortably means. According to Smart Asset, that includes paying your bills, having adequate housing, and being able to afford hobbies, the occasional vacation in a rare emergency. In Wisconsin, to make that happen as a single person, you need to make $87,000. For a family of four, it's about $225,000. That means Wisconsin is actually one of the cheaper states, coming in at 37th. I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Brewers are back home. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Milwaukee Brewers and Pittsburgh Pirates beginning a three-game series at American Family Field tonight. The Brewers went from a 9-3 lead over the Twins yesterday to a 9-8 win thanks to closer Trevor McGill, manager Pat Murphy.
When leverage guys come in with a big margin, sometimes things are different. That's kind of the story of that. But they held it together, and McGill was terrific. You know, McGill was terrific.
NBA, Kevin Durant traded to the Houston Rockets in a blockbuster deal with the Phoenix Suns. The Oklahoma City Thunder, 103-91, to win their first NBA title. The Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton suffering a torn Achilles in the first quarter. Racing, Alex Palou winning the XPEL Grand Prix at Road America on a very hot day at Elkhart Lake.
It was a crazy race. It was a crazy race for us. At moments, I thought we were losing a ton of positions, and we were making. It was a tough race for everybody.
That's Indy driver Alex Palou with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be hot and muggy again today. That heat index will be pushing 100 once again this afternoon. And then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later today. Some of those strong to severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Stay weather aware today and this evening. Tomorrow, it will be cooler. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 80.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Mark Sommerhauser, the communications director for the Wisconsin Policy Forum, analyzing the impacts of the big brutal bill.
That number that you mentioned of nearly $15,000 per person, literally about a quarter of the state's economy.
Basically a quarter of the state's economy coming from the federal government. I'm not hearing from Republicans in the state in their biennial budget planning any sort of contingency plan for major disruption in federal funding coming into the state.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison, where I welcome the Green Bay Automobile Gallery's Daryl Burnett. And we rank our all-time favorite summer blockbuster movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue, and good morning. Welcome back. It's a Monday morning, June 23rd, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Parker Olson in Madison Studio A2. John and Gordy joining us from A1 in a moment. Brittany Merlot giving us the forecast coming up as well. First, a reminder, of course, we'd love to have you sign up for our newsletter over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. Click subscribe up in the banner at the top of the homepage, where today Christina Lurie has a story in there about frozen custard. And what is it about Wisconsin that we love our frozen custard so much? I mean, we like our ice cream too, but custard's really kind of something unique to this neck of the woods. Parker, I was going to mention to you as well, and you know, actually, let's bring everybody in, John and Gordon, Brittany, and all that.
Big round table.
Let's fix things right on air here, okay? Let's have one of those pull the curtain back moments. So as I'm refilling my coffee in the kitchen, and up comes on my phone screen a thing from Spotify saying that, you know, the podcast episode has dropped for the 6 a.m. hour.
Yeah.
Now, the title for the 6 a.m. hour was Iran Surrenders, and then in brackets, sarcasm font. Mm-hmm. Well, we've learned today that if you put it in the brackets, it doesn't show up in the title. So right now, everybody thinks my first hour is about Iran surrendering.
I fixed
not
that.
Not even being sarcastic about it.
Wow. I fixed that.
Do you fix that already?
I thought so. I thought I fixed it right away.
Okay, well.
Go, Parker.
Well, I'll take a look and let you go.
I will.
Well, not now, but, you know, at some point here. We're not going to lose that many more listeners
by having
a misleading title.
Yeah, but I'm all for good information, not misinformation, Pat.
Oh, listen to this.
Oh, that is wonderful. I'm feeling warm.
Spoken like a man straight out of college who still has... like
hope,
great
optimism,
yeah.
desire,
that's right,
ambition,
that's right. That's
all
right.
The things I miss so much, along with my knees and one of my shoulders.
Oh, those are already pretty much gone.
Wow.
Yep. We'll ask the guys how they survived the heat here in a bit. But Brittany, since you got the forecast duties here, how did you beat the heat, or what did you do when you were out and about?
Yeah, so I went to the beach. I went to Lake Superior, the free AC, and tried to attempt to go in the water, but it was so cold there I didn't even need to.
No, there was no 100 degree heat index up there.
No, not at all. Okay. It was in the mid-50s. So
right. So you did it right. All right.
I did.
And it's moving on out of here now.
Yes, it is. Slowly but surely. Now, there still is, you know, heat advisories for a good two-thirds of the state, pretty much the eastern and southern parts. And it still stays there till about 7 o'clock this evening. So still feeling like the low 100s today, still reaching the low 90s for a good chunk of the state. But far northwest, your highs are going to be in the upper 70s. Yeah, some free AC is rolling through, but there's a price to pay to get the cooler temperatures here. And that's going to come in the form of storms. Some could be strong to severe, especially in areas towards La Crosse, into Wausau, then down into the Fox Valley, Madison, you're into that area as well. These storms want to start around 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, probably around Winona, La Crosse area, Wausau. And they're going to start to build and become more numerous and maybe a little bit stronger with some high winds possible, too. And as there's going to be a line as it pushes in towards the Madison-Green Bay area. And this is only going to be while the daylight's out. Once it gets dark, this thing fizzles out and becomes just rain. So again, really high risk of some high winds and, of course, some heavy downpours. Hail and a tornado is possible, especially early as these storms start to form. But once they get into that line, I think that risk kind of goes away a little bit more. But still, storms sparking up around noon. Again, tomorrow, the front is going to be sitting over southern Wisconsin. It is going to continue some heavy rainfall. Then it lifts north as we go through the rest of the week. And then it starts to get out of here as we go into the weekend. So a lot of heavy rain, widespread 1 inch is expected. Some places could get around 3 to 5 inches by the time this week is over. So
this is, again, look for your target for mowing the lawn and yes. Make your target or you're going to regret it later on.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep. I see how this works. All right. Thank you, Brittany. Appreciate so much. Coming up right after this program, Matt and Air on Air, Jane and Greg have Civic Media's new news director, Sholly Pittman, coming up at 9:30. Wisconsin bug guy, PJ Leisch from UW-Madison's entomology department. And, of course, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, their segment coming up at 10:50. On the Todd Alba Show, 2:30 this afternoon, he will welcome in State Senator Kelda Royce from the Joint Finance Committee. And the Maggie Dawn Show this afternoon, Matt Rothschild is the guest co-host with Elon Berman from the American Foreign Policy Council with a follow-up on the U.S. attack on Iran over the weekend. The other fun things we get to do here on this program are talking to some of the people who cover Wisconsin in other local areas. We'll be talking to Earl Ingram on Wednesday, James Kelly, who does the northwestern part of the state. Jimmy Cuska talks to us from covering things over in the western Wisconsin area. And it's so great that on Monday mornings, we get to talk to our Madison morning folks, John and Gordy, who join us from Madison Studio A1. Guys, how are you?
Good.
Doing great.
Yeah. Wonderful. How did you guys survive the heat?
Do you
thrive on it? Yes.
No, it's the worst thing that could ever happen to me. I'm really allergic to dew points. So anytime the dew points are high, you won't find me anywhere outside. I am indoors, air conditioning, fans blowing like crazy.
Yeah, so we actually ran into each other over the weekend in the Walmart parking lot on the west side of Madison, and we decided, we'd never talk to each other once the show was over. We usually just go our separate ways, and especially on the weekends, we don't really check in with each other. You know, we have other lives to lead, but we ran into each other, and we thought, well, let's go have a beer somewhere.
That's right.
So that's what we did. We went to a new place in town that a friend of ours owns, and we had a nice cold one. So you had
a good time, because I see this unfolding. You get the beer, you each take a sip. You look at each other. It's like, oh, yeah, that's why we don't do this. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
anyway.
When you're doing a morning show, having a beer is like a real downer. You're ready to go to sleep right after the beer.
Exactly. We both needed a nap after one beer. Yeah.
But the funny thing about the heat, though, I mean, it was really hot down here, 93 degrees. Mm-hmm. And the funny thing is, we were out there working in the yard really hard, doing a lot of gardening, making sure that, we're getting ready for the week-long rain. Our neighbors are doing the same damn thing. Everybody was outdoors working really hard in the yard with 93 degree temperatures. Ridiculous.
It's crazy. I know, because because otherwise if it rains and you don't get things done, it just gets really out of hand. So no, I totally understand that part. We actually took the pontoon out for the first time this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. And you kind of get, those little misters, the fans that, blow a little water on you. You get on the lake naturally. It was really windy, of course, all weekend. Mm-hmm. And so it really chops up the water. And you can get that speed just right that you can dunk all of your riders occasionally. You just hit the wave. They get the spray.
Beautiful.
9 out of 10 times they're mad at you. But this weekend it was like, thank you.
Yes,
I needed
please.
That. Yes, please. We go upriver to a place called the Mallard. It's just this little resort with six cabins and some campsites. But then it also has a bar. And so a lot of people come upriver or downriver and they park their boat in there and they go get a cold one and they sit around for a little bit. And it's got this area where once a year they dump a truckload of sand on the river. It's maybe 30 feet wide tops and maybe 8 feet, you know, before the water, before you get to the river. And all of our grandkids over the years have always referred to it at a certain age, like the beach. They wanted to go to the beach. I just think that's adorable. I'm like, yeah, the beach. It's like this little pile of sand, you know, but it works for them. They go hunting for, you know, crayfish in the air or crawfish in the, you know, in the rocks and everything there.
Yeah.
And after all these years, they still keep coming back. These stupid crawfish. Like, have you not figured out the kids that are like biting your head off or whatever? They're just like, oh, look, my thing is and then it flops over dead. But, you know, it's
when the sand arrives.
Yeah. Yeah.
Take a vacation.
when you hear the kids go, like, our yard is filled with, you know, squirrels and rabbits. It looks like something out of, you know, Snow White or whatever. But as soon as, you know, all the little kids show up, boom, they're gone. There is not a woodland creature to be found for the next, you know, 3 days. Until they realize that the coast is clear. But it was still fun. Well, I'm glad you guys beat the Heat. Now, Parker was telling us earlier, he was working the Madison Mallards game when that pitcher had a no-hitter the other day. Mm-hmm. And I've been to two Madison Mallards games. Love them. I've been to a few Eau Claire Express games as well. St. Paul Saint. I love Northwoods League baseball. I love minor league baseball. Mm-hmm. Is it something that you guys, I mean, the team's been around for a little while now, so do you go to a game or two here and there, or does that something you used to do? You don't do so
used
much
to
anymore?
Do a long time ago, the Madison Muskies.
Yeah, before they changed the name to the Mallards, or they got different management or owners or whatever. It was the Muskies, and we used to go to some of those.
We used to go
games.
To those. Yeah, those were a lot of fun.
Haven't been out there for a while though, but I love minor league baseball. It's the way it should be. You know, it's families coming out to the ballpark and having a good time, and they have more family activities, you know, in and around the ballpark. So yeah, it's a good time though.
Yeah, in the old days with the Muskies, they used to make fun of their mascot, and they had a lot. You know, they celebrated the craziness of a Muskie.
Sure,
and that was great. I don't know. Did they do that now with the Mallards at all?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I don't think so. Pat, are you familiar with the Savannah Bananas? Are you know about these guys?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
I do. We were talking about them the other day.
Yeah, because I discovered I saw it on ESPN and I was just freaked out over it. I had no idea the Savannah Bananas were around. And who is the other team that they have?
I'm not sure who they play. Yeah.
For folks that don't know, would it be fair to call them like the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball?
Yes, that's it.
Exactly. Yes. You know,
just a lot of performance, but they're talented. They're not like they just happen to play baseball. It's like, no, they can actually play baseball.
Yeah.
And do all these crazy things.
Yeah. I saw the outfielder catch a fly ball out there with his hand behind his back, glove behind his back. He caught the ball. Freaked me out. This is like my first introduction to entertainment in baseball. Why don't they do this all the time in baseball? You know, they dance between, you know, the teams setting up and or on the sidelines.
The umpires are involved and the whole team is involved and they get the fans going. Great way to watch baseball. Yeah.
Look how much more involved it is now, not just at the minor league parks, but even you go to American Family Field or Target Field, and they've now got stuff in the concourses, you know, for the kids to do.
Yes.
Maybe pitch a ball through, you know, past a radar gun or whatever. And how different it is then. I mean, if you still have to go to Wrigley or Fenway, these two things that were built in 1912, and how many generations of kids had to go there, and dad goes and he's got his little straw hat on and says, no, you're just going to watch the game. There's nothing else to do.
Exactly.
Nothing else. Just watch the game. We got it a lot easier now. There's a lot of distractions, to be sure, if you just want to watch the game. But I think most people welcome it. And like I said, Madison's got a great setup for it, as does Eau Claire.
Yes.
I like to make a tour of some of these others. I have not been to any of the others yet around Wisconsin. Wausau, Appleton's got one. So if we can get Parker to work on that, maybe start doing some remotes from some of these minor league ballparks.
Do you want that?
Well,
would
that be fun?
Do you want a night game for me?
No.
Nights with Pat Kreitlow?
No, we're totally 6 a.m. You know, out there, and we're just talking to the groundskeepers. You know, let them have all the fun stuff later in the day. We're talking to John and Gordy here from our Civic Media Station in Madison. A local update is coming up next for a couple of you. For others, we will continue conversing with John and Gordy. And then later, when we're all together 15 minutes from now, we are going to be talking to State Representative Francesca Hong about the state budget process, the process that could be more bipartisan, but some people don't want it to be more bipartisan. Live from the heart of America's up north here on Lake Wissota, thanks for spending part of your mornings up north. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Cobuswin Bus is hiring. It's drivers that they need.
Do you remember your school bus driver, the one who got you to school safely? Now it's your turn to make a difference. Join us at Cobuswin for our open bus hiring event, Thursday, June 26, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Take a seat behind the wheel of a bus and see how easy it really is. Learn about our generous bonus program. Visit Cobuswin.com for the location near you.
Cobuswin Bus is hiring. It's the perfect job for me.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the university system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night, and today the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning. A federal judge has blocked the Trump administration from withholding billions of dollars in transportation funds from states that don't agree to participate in some immigration enforcement actions. 20 states sued after they said Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy threatened to cut off funding to states that refuse to comply with President Donald Trump's immigration agenda. U.S. District Judge John McConnell Jr. on Thursday barred federal transportation officials from carrying out that threat before the lawsuit is fully resolved. An attorney for the Department of Transportation had argued that the department had the legal discretion to set conditions on states receiving the congressionally appropriated funds. Wisconsin U.S. Senator Ron Johnson wants to delay the Trump administration's big, beautiful bill. Johnson is going against fellow Republicans on the budget vote and released a report showing the House-passed budget reconciliation bill would put the U.S. into a massive deficit of $24 trillion over the next 10 years. Johnson is also pushing back against President Trump's claims that Republicans who oppose the budget would be finished in politics. Johnson says he'd be happy to be done if it stopped the bill and that trying to rush it to the Senate floor for a vote before the July 4th recess could stop any vote at all. At the Capitol, budget negotiations between Senate and Assembly Republicans came to a halt on Thursday with a pair of Republican senators raising objections to the process. On Wednesday, Joint Finance Committee co-chair Republican Representative Mark Bourne remained upbeat. Bourne said Republicans have, quote, had good discussions, end quote, and to hope complete work on the two-year budget by the close of the fiscal year at the end of June. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said Wednesday that there have been, quote, recent conversations, end quote, with Democratic Governor Tony Evers' office as Republicans hope to avoid the governor's veto. The outlook had changed by Thursday, with the Joint Finance Committee abruptly canceling a scheduled executive session. Republican Senators Steve Nass and Chris Capengo opposed the process between Assembly Republicans and the governor. In a statement, Nass said, quote, "There is nothing preventing the Republican majority in the legislature from passing a conservative state budget except for the lack of willingness at the highest levels in the Assembly," end quote. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemieux said in a statement that those talks are, quote, "heading in a direction that taxpayers cannot afford," end quote. Joint Finance Committee Democrat Senator Keld Royce said Senate Republican leadership needs to decide whether they want to, quote, kowtow to the most extreme voices in their caucus that are demanding things that nobody in Wisconsin wants, end quote. With a narrow 18-15 majority, Republicans in the chamber would need Democratic votes to pass the budget. Failure to complete a budget by the end of the fiscal year on June 30th would mean current funding levels remain in place, something Nass said he's fine with. The Wisconsin State Assembly passes legislation known as Braden's Law to strengthen penalties for people found guilty of sextortion. Mosinee Republican Representative Brent Jacobson co-authors the bill and says the legislature had the opportunity to respond to the despicable people doing this to Wisconsin children and send a clear message that they need to stay away from the children in Wisconsin. The bill, which now goes to the state Senate, is named after Braden Bone. The Wausau area 15-year-old died by suicide in March after falling victim to a sextortion scheme. Under the bill, perpetrators could be charged with felony murder if a victim commits suicide. At the Capitol, legislative leaders are taking a cautious approach to increase in security following the assassination of Minnesota lawmaker. This is Assembly Speaker Robin Voss.
The thing that's most scary is this didn't occur in a Capitol. It occurred at someone's home. So the idea of trying to make the Capitol into a fortress, I don't know if that necessarily would even have ever done anything in this situation.
Voss said Assembly lawmakers will discuss security issues, something echoed by Minority Leader Greta Neubauer.
We're not going to comment at this point on specific security measures, but are open to longer-term conversations to ensure that everyone feels safe.
The Capitol building has 12 public entrances on two levels. Following the 2011 Act 10 protests, public access was briefly limited with metal detectors placed at a pair of ground floor entrances. While Wisconsin's tourism industry posted another record-breaking year in 2024, several counties in southwest Wisconsin experienced a slight decline, largely due to unfavorable weather, according to local leaders. Statewide tourism's total economic impact grew from $25 billion in 2023 to $25.8 billion in 2024, marking the third consecutive year of growth. In contrast, Grant County saw its tourism revenue fall by approximately 2.8% from $112 million to $109 million. Lafayette and Iowa counties each reported modest declines of 0.7%, with tourism impacts totaling around $29 million and $77 million, respectively. Crawford County was the exception in the region, recording a small increase of 0.3% to reach $73 million. Officials remain optimistic and point to ongoing efforts to strengthen local attractions and visitor experiences in the year ahead. Details of a twisted tale of revenge unveiled as a woman tied to hazmat probes in Madison this week appeared in court. Prosecutors accused 41-year-old Andrea Whitaker of helping her boyfriend, 43-year-old Paul Van Dyne, in his plot to poison his former love interest with cyanide. Whitaker was charged in Dane County Court Wednesday with harboring and aiding a felon. One of the victims had to be hospitalized after drinking the tainted water. During the hazmat operations at three different Madison locations, seven state agents had to be hospitalized due to exposure to chemicals. Whitaker's bond was set at $750,000, and an assistant Dane County DA made it clear in court Wednesday that she is likely to face additional, more serious charges. Replacement of the patient and employee parking lots at the Richland Hospital and Clinics facility in Richland Center is expected to continue through August 1st. During the project, in order to limit the impact on patients, patient parking will continue to be available in the parking lots closest to the facility. Staff have been asked to find alternate transport means, work remotely, or park along Story Field. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
News from the Center, WRCE. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
When scammers want to obtain personal information, they usually target online users. While being cautious of online scams, consumers should also be aware that old-school scamming tactics are also common. Michelle Reinen is with Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
We need consumers to be aware of those old-school methods, and some recent examples are letters. Fraudulent letters that consumers have received in their mailboxes.
Another letter mailing scam example involves a letter with a false threat to a consumer. Michelle Reinen says that there are ways to avoid receiving unwanted letters.
You can have a little bit of control on where your information goes if you ignore surveys and questionnaires and sweepstakes. The other thing you can do is exercise your consumer's right to opt out. Financial institutions are required to notify consumers of their right to not have personal information shared with outside companies. So you can opt out of mail offers and pre-screen credit and insurance offers. You can do that at optoutprescreen.com. And then you just want to try and reduce the total amount of unwanted mail you get. And you can do that by writing to the companies individually, asking to be taken off their mailing list. But you can also register with the Direct Marketing Association's Mail Preference Services. And you can register for 10 years for just $2, and they won't share your information. They'll remove you from their circulation list, and so when new companies are going to that list, your name won't be included in that.
If you are a victim of a letter mailing scam, you can contact ADCAP's Consumer Protection Hotline by phone at 1-800-422-7128 or by email at datcphotline@wi.gov.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Believe it or not, Hollywood is making a sequel. In this case, it is the fourth in a series of Meet the Parents films. The Hollywood Reporter says Owen Wilson has officially signed on to the project, joining Ben Stiller, Robert De Niro, Terry Polo, and newcomer to the cast, Ariana Grande. It's always nice to have a fresh face. Paramount Pictures is teaming up with Universal for the latest installment, which is co-written by John Hamburg, who also co-wrote the previous three films and will direct this new chapter. If you listen to Nightlight here on the Civic Media Radio Network, you've probably heard me talk about this franchise quite a bit, as it was started by frequent guest and writer Greg Liana, whose $50,000 independent film ended up at Universal Studios and is now one of the highest-grossing live-action comedy franchises ever. Meet the Parents is expected to hit theaters Thanksgiving of 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be hot and muggy again today. That heat index will be pushing 100 once again this afternoon. And then we do have a chance of thunderstorms later today. Some of those strong to severe with hail, wind, even an isolated tornado possible. Stay weather aware today and this evening. Tomorrow, it will be cooler. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 80.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Todd Michaels joins us now.
I have to give a shout out to Oshkosh. It's a very underrated city.
There was also a restaurant there I really like. I don't think it's there anymore.
Yeah, the Tally's was great. I may have gone to like a prom dinner there or something like back in my day too, Pete.
A little calzone before you tear it up in the dance floor.
There's nothing better than wearing a tuxedo and a little calzone in your cummerbund.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look back at the weekend news headlines and also State Senator Kelda Royce. Will the Joint Finance Committee actually meet this week? She'll tell us. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
I believe we may have set some kind of a record in the comment sections today. Now, a lot of it has to do with the attack on Iran over the weekend, with people going back and forth about what was constitutional or not, and other stuff, let's just say. Not everybody plays nice in the comment section, if you know what I'm saying. So every so often, it's a little tougher to sift through and find these things. But here from Tony up here, Pat needs a backlight to separate him from his fancy new bookshelf. If we're critiquing, it's hard to separate his black headphones from his black bookcase. Well, Tony, let me grab my fancy new remote control here, and let's try that.
Ooh, look at that.
Look at that. We got it's not like high intensity backlighting, but it's not nothing. So
it appears that you're missing a light.
I am missing a light. I am. Okay. Here's the problem with IKEA.
With IKEA? Oh, boy. Yeah.
So I ordered all this online. I had it delivered, and I saw the lights up here. They look really nice.
Yeah.
But they don't tell you that if you do more than three lights, you need a separate little power adapter thingy.
Gotcha.
So I have to go looking up the power adapter thingy, and then I can put up, you know, the fourth light that goes there. But thank you for noticing. Now it's going to bug everybody when they look at this.
I like to have attention to detail.
Well, that you got. So there, we've taken care of that. It's a Monday morning. It's June 23rd. Appreciate you having you here, and we appreciate State Representative Francesca Hong, who's joining us as well to give us a bit of an update on the state budget. Busy being, you know, mom in the meantime. And is it summer camp season now?
Yes, today is the first day of camp, and of course he did well, and I just had to hover real quick to see if he was all good.
Aw.
Yeah.
I was saying earlier, I had a daughter staying with me over the weekend, and the two little ones, ages 6 and 3, and they left, you know, mid-show here, which is really tough because they're, you know, doing hugs and squeezes and kisses and everything. I'm like, just go. I can't cry on the radio. Just stop it. So I get it. You know, we got to take care of family, especially your job, which has demands in all the weirdest times. You know, you never know when you got to go knock doors or go to a fundraiser or, I don't know, pass some legislation, which would be great to do if you all could get a chance to. But you shared a clip recently of some committee interaction and how the committee chair just really wants to micromanage the conversation in a way that avoids talking about all of the things that go into a state budget. It's not just about, you know, tax cuts for the well-off, but there's healthcare, there's education, there's all these things that are necessary. And, you know, you were simply trying to, I think, make the point that we have a very interconnected budget if you're willing to make those connections.
Well, I think, first of all, I was responding to testimony from the bill authors regarding a bill that would have removed reoccurring referenda. And so I thought that was a really great segue and would give me an opportunity to build some context around what would be driving the need for schools to go to referenda. And the chair of the committee, Representative Joel Kitchens, felt as though that was not pertaining to the bill, interrupted me multiple times. And even though I tried to reframe the question and add additional context, he accused me of trying to always twist the conversation. But especially when Republicans are saying things like historic investments in school and these increasing budgets, that's just not true. And the latest votes that happened in the Joint Committee of Finance executive session last week, the Republican motion included $0 increase in state aid or equalization aid for K-12 public schools. This has not happened since 2011, when Scott Walker administration actually decreased the state aid to K-12 public schools. So it's incredibly unprecedented. I don't love using that word because it's not surprising that the Republicans have very little interest in actually taking care of our kids. But I think it's important for folks to know that what they are presenting in their motions is wholly inadequate. And in addition to the $0 state aid increase, we're talking about 37% special education reimbursement, where remember that is for private schools where public tax dollars are going to voucher schools, they receive 90% reimbursement for the state for their special education costs. And so we're pitting students against one another. And in a time where we should be ensuring that every child has their needs met, and opportunities to thrive, we're picking and choosing how to fund our schools and really pitting our communities against one another too, when we're forcing taxpayers to raise their own property taxes because the state refuses to fully and adequately fund our schools.
As you were trying to make these points and getting interrupted, I thought of the time when Elizabeth Warren was trying to do the same thing in the Senate and actually was disciplined for continuing to speak, and the phrase "yet she persisted" came into the lexicon, and I immediately thought of that watching you do this, because all I thought you were trying to do, and this is I'm putting words in your mouth here, was to want to say to the Republicans, okay, look, you don't want these recurring referendums, so you could maybe better fund the schools, right? So that we don't need the referendums. And I just wanted one of them to go, oh, no, we don't want to fund schools. We just don't want you guys to have any more referendums. I mean, at least be honest with folks that way, that's what this bill is really all about. You just don't like that pesky democracy breaking out.
We were presenting alternatives and solutions that, again, would eliminate the need to go to referenda. And unfortunately, having a conversation about inadequate public school funding is one that Republicans will continue to evade because it's something that their communities, people in their district, are demanding. And we saw that with testimony from all across the state, where Wisconsinites showed up to tell Republicans and Democrats on the Committee on Joint Finance what their communities need, that we need a budget that reflects our morals, our values, our needs. And unfortunately, the Republicans refused to listen, especially, and they showed that in their budget motion.
And so I've drawn some parallels to what we're seeing in Congress as well. And it seems like you have more demand than ever for bipartisanship, or at least an attempt to talk to one another. Mm-hmm. And yet in both Washington, D.C. and Madison, you see a side of the aisle that is going out of its way to cut Democrats out of the conversation. And I mean, look, I know there's a lot of people that favor this guy who'd love to bring autocracy to the country, but we are not a land of one party rule yet. And yet it seems like it's really too much to ask that, you know, if they're going to need Democratic votes to pass a budget, maybe they would let you get a word in edgewise before they, you know, implode amongst themselves and can't pass a budget.
Well, Democrats are going to continue to fight for the needs of Wisconsinites and talk about what people are actually asking for in the state budget and how we use their tax dollars. And they're asking for investments in childcare to make childcare services fully more affordable and available for communities across the state, especially our rural communities. We need to be paying childcare educators, making sure providers have what they need to stay open. They're asking for increases, actually demanding increases in public education, both K-12 and higher ed. And instead, Republicans responded with, we're going to do an $87 million cut to the universities of Wisconsin. And so Republicans can I think they really are in disarray. And while we wait for them to get their act together, even though I would like to replace that word with something else. Yes. Democrats are going to continue to talk about what Wisconsinites want and are demanding of their government, of their representation. And so folks can talk about bipartisanship in terms of working together, but when the other side has continuously left the negotiating table, when they were left conversations with the governor, I think it's really important that we show people who they are. And who they are folks who refuse to listen to their communities. And so we as Democrats have a deep responsibility to ensure that our message is clear, that we are listening to Wisconsinites. We are going to continue to fight for them. And we have no problem going in to communities whose representatives are not listening and talking about how we can collectively fight back and do better for our communities.
We're talking to State Representative Francesca Hong, and here's where we get into some speculation. And again, I'm happy to be accused of overthinking something. But you've got a couple of Republican senators already saying that they're not going to vote for the thing that appears to be coming out of the Joint Finance Committee. So in theory, it could get to the point where Republicans don't have enough votes amongst themselves to pass a budget. And you see some reporters writing, well, they may have to go get, you know, one or two votes from the Democratic side of things. And my contention has been that this is very likely just a head fake. This just clears the path for them to say, you know, we can't agree amongst themselves and we don't want to talk to Democrats, so we're just not going to pass a budget. That there's, for some folks, there may not even be an interest in passing a budget because, you know, spending just continues at the current budget level and they don't have to make any tough choices. Is that wildly speculative? Am I wildly overthinking this, or is a no budget budget a possibility?
Pat, I always appreciate you being thoughtful and analytical. I wouldn't say it's overthinking. It's unfortunate that we are debating on passing a budget that Republicans have presented. This is the Republican budget that they themselves are not agreeing on, that again does the needs of Wisconsinites. I think it's important that we pass a budget that at least makes sure that we are funding public education, childcare, higher education, that we are not opening any new prisons. I think it's important to continue the conversation about Green Bay. Yes, our budget will, the previous session budget will carry over if the budget is not signed as legislation by June 30th. But I also think we have a responsibility to give the governor courage and support to reject a budget that refuses to, that does not meet the needs of Wisconsinites. I think especially with the impending federal cuts and what this big dumb bill that is being worked on and that the Senate most likely will be voting on this week in the reconciliation bill. It's imperative that the state do everything we can to ensure that communities have what they need to take care of our constituents. And so I think in addition to the fact that maybe Democrats and Republicans in the Senate are having conversations, a budget that is presented to the governor needs to be one that includes investments in childcare, K-12 education, higher education, and as even though we haven't seen the governor reject the budget in full, this is a much different political climate, mm-hmm. and I would hope we can continue to have that conversation about how we need to fight for a budget that reflects the needs and meets the needs of Wisconsinites.
And now you see why people like Alicia have comments like Representative Hong has the patience of a saint. And we, not the vocabulary necessarily, but the patience. And that's the thing that's important. Fran, thank you so much for taking time out for talking to us in the middle of a busy family day. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.
Always happy to be here. Thanks so much, Pat.
All right. Jane Mattinair tells us what's coming up next on her program. A local update for the rest of you all here on our mornings powered by Up North News on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
Remember your school bus driver, the one who got you to school safely? Now it's your turn to make a difference. Join us at Cobesin for our open bus hiring event, Thursday, June 26, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Take a seat behind the wheel of a bus and see how easy it really is. Learn about our generous bonus program. Visit Cobesin.com for the location near you.
Cobesin Bus is hiring. It's the perfect job for me.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. For the last few months, Governor Tony Evers has said repeatedly that he would make a decision about whether or not to run for a third term after the state budget process is completed. In a recent opinion column at the Recombobulation Area, I made the argument that the decision that Evers should make should be to not seek a third term as Wisconsin's governor. This argument is not one of ideological differences or policy disagreements. Tony Evers has been a good governor and has served the state well. This more has to do with Evers' age. He'll be 75 years old in November 2026, and about how the Democratic Party has had a massive, inescapable problem in its unwillingness to pass the torch to the next generation. Tony Evers needs to do what so many other Democrats have struggled so mightily to do and step aside when the time is right. And after Joe Biden's catastrophic 2024, this is a conversation we need to be having, and we need to be having it now. Democrats can't keep repeating the same mistakes over and over. It's time to do things differently.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Todd Albaugh Show.
The Joint Finance Committee was leaked that they intend to cut $87 million from the UW system budget. And so we put this out on our socials last night. And today, the Joint Finance Committee decided to pull that from the agenda. Because apparently, from what I'm told, Republican legislators got a lot of calls. When the truth is disseminated and people react, results can happen.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station. And on the app. Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Pat Kreitlow Mornings on WRCE, FM 107.7 at AM 1450. And I am Phil Nee with a look at sports. Dodge Hill won a home talent baseball game 16-5 over Muscadet on Sunday. The host Knights exploded for 16 unanswered runs late in the game to improve to 5-1. The visiting Mudcats scored a run in the second and four more in the third and jumped to a 5-0 lead. Starting pitcher Blake Busson pitched well for Muscadet and kept the Knights scoreless until they tied the game at 5 in the bottom of the sixth. The Mudcats kept the score tied until Dodgeville's 11-run eighth inning. Carson Kenyon and Josh Cartwright both pitched in the eighth, trying to slow down the Dodgeville bats. Cartwright was 2-for-4 with two RBI. Logan Olson doubled. Carson Kenyon was on base twice. And Casey Layton singled and scored for the Mudcats. Carson Obgenorth started pitching for Dodgeville, and Ty Paulskill came on in relief to get the win. Dodgeville's bats came to life. Leighton Bowers was 4-for-6 with two singles, a triple, and a home run, a total of five RBIs. Dominic McVeigh and Dalen Rickard both hit three-run home runs for Dodgeville. The game ended after eight innings on the 10-run rule. Muscadet is now 1-5 in Sunday league play. They will host Wyota on Sunday. Elsewhere yesterday, Belleville 17-0 over Wyota, Hollandale 11-6 over Pine Bluff Mount Horeb, Verona 11, Scholesburg Benton 4, Argyle 6-0 over Ridgeway, Blanchardville at Arena postponed. In the north yesterday, Ashton 13-9 over Reedsburg, Cross Plains 8, Cazenovia 3, Wanakee 4-3 over Sauk Prairie. Sauk Prairie was a winner on Saturday night over Cazenovia 11-8, Mazamani 4, Reedsburg 3, Middleton 13-3 over Cross Plains, Wanakee 9, and Black Earth 7. Also yesterday in the southeast, Evansville over McFarland, 6-2. Fort Atkinson beat Cambridge, 8-7. Jefferson, 16. Lake Mills, 1. Utica, 17. Albion, 5. Footville, 16-14 over Stoughton. Over the weekend at the WIAA State Girls Soccer Championships, Division 4 crown won by Xavier 2-0 over Ozaukee Random Lake. Also, it was Catholic Memorial 4-2 over Edgewood to capture the Division 3 title. Division 2 won by Brookfield Central 2-1 against Pewaukee, and the Division 1 state championship came down to a shootout. 1-1 West and Muskego tied. It was a 3-0 win in the shootout for Muskego over Madison West as they capture the Division I state title, and the high school sports season officially ended over the weekend for the 24-25 school year. The Simon Sharks were back in action Wednesday night in the pool as they swam in Mineral Point against the Water Dogs and the Dodgeville Dolphins. Despite only having 19 swimmers, those 19 represented well, and they narrowly missed first place. All of the Sharks who swam earned at least one first place finish. Swimmers who earned three individual first place finishes included Brooklyn Worthington in the short free, butterfly, and long free, Braylon Olson in the short free, long free, and breaststroke, Connor Hying in the backstroke, butterfly, and breaststroke, Chloe Hying in the backstroke, butterfly, and the 200 individual medley. Morgan Worthington, Clancy Hying, Kaylin Burns, Madeline Ringelstetter, and Emmerich Kalman each earned two individual first place finishes. Elsa Norte and Lucien Hamlin each added a blue ribbon finish. Other Sharks who earned first place on relay teams include Harper Adler, Lavea Hamlin, Zelly Kalman, along with Claire Hying, Cameron Keene, Hallie Cahoot, Liam Hamlin, and Liam Rogers. The Sharks host their first home meet of the season at the Simons Recreation Complex on Tuesday. The meet will get underway at 5 tomorrow, and they're asking everyone to come out and show support for the Simons Sharks. Here are more accolades today from the recently completed high school spring sports season. Ridgeon Valley All-Conference track teams. The girls' first-team All-Conference, led by DeSoto's Paisley Engen, Bryn Venner, Lena Isbell, Haley Neckner, and Elena Leckner. From Kickable Lafarge, they had an amazing year this year. Avea Young, Katie Rando, Jaden Nagel, Jewel Kleinsaucer, Tierney Arndt, Katie Rando, Kendall Andelsek, Annika Waslick, Colby Andelsek, and Harlow Flea Hardy, along with Braylon Culver, North Crawford's Ingrid Karstens, and Emma Udelhoven of Waseca Steuben. On the second team, from Ithaca Weston, Holly King, DeSoto's Peyton Sprosty, along with Riley Cade of Kickapoo Lafarge, North Crawford's Isabel Knutson and Olivia Ike, also Waseca Steuben's Elena Martin, Emma Wall, Isabella Bunders, Haley Mitchell, Macy Mitchell, Elizabeth Wright, Natalie Wright, and Ella Jones. The honorable mention team includes, from Ithaca Weston, Tristan Peterson, Maggie Kirshner, Jaden Bolin, and Faith Stanichka, DeSoto's Lena Isbell. From Kickapoo Lafarge, Chloe Walter and Colby Andelsek, North Crawford's Kate Swenson, Kylie Hutchison, Jade Grimsled, Shalene Nelson, Gina Yonker, Agnes Karstens, Anna Chamberlain, and from Waseca Steuben's Claire Wright and Stella Walls. The girls' all-sportsmanship team, Callie Gilman, DeSoto, Bailey Wanless, Ithaca Weston, Summer Wolman of Kickapoo Lafarge, Ingrid Karstens, North Crawford, Livian Starkey of Seneca, and Brinley Benoy of Waseca Steuben. The Field Event Athlete of the Year, Tierney Arndt, a junior from Kickapoo Lafarge. Kickapoo Lafarge senior Jaden Snagel was recognized as the Runner of the Year. The Coach of the Year, Jeremy Lee of Kickapoo Lafarge. It was Kickapoo Lafarge winning the girls' conference with 219 points over Waseca Steuben's 96 at the conference championships. The Brewers built a 5-run lead, then held off a Minnesota rally in Sunday's 9-8 victory. That gave Milwaukee a sweep of the weekend series. First baseman Reese Hoskins had a home run, a double, and 2 runs batted in. Bryce Terang homered with 2 on, and Caleb Durbin had a total of 3 hits. The Brewers host the Pirates tonight with Chad Patrick starting the first game of the series. The current 4-game winning streak has Milwaukee just 3.5 games out of first place in the division. Hear the game tonight on WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. Catch the game on us all season long. You're home for Brewer baseball. Well, that's a look at sports. I am Phil Nee. We hope you're having a great day. Stay tuned for future weather updates. There is a possibility of some severe weather later in the day in the area. Conditions are right with this heat, and so we'll keep you posted from local radio. During Pat Kreitlow Mornings, we'll update you on the ABC News and more coming up next.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. There have been more air attacks between Iran and Israel today. ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
President Trump also questioning the future of Iran's regime, posting, "Why wouldn't there be a regime change?" The comment possibly hinting at hopes that the Iranian people will now demand new leadership. Vice President J.D. Vance insists the U.S. strikes were about stopping Iran's nuclear ambitions, not toppling its government.
Iran's foreign minister is in Moscow to meet with President Putin. Oil prices have been up, down, up again. Between Texas and Maine, about 150 million Americans are under heat alerts for today. A shocker, the Texas Republican governor, Greg Abbott, has vetoed a measure passed by the Republican-controlled state legislature. The bill would have prohibited sale of products containing a main ingredient in marijuana, THC. It took all 7 games, but the Oklahoma Thunder beat the Indiana Pacers 103-91 and are the new NBA champs. This is ABC News.